SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid on a Thursday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. It is NBA Draft Day, DRS. How you feeling?
Feeling good. Thursday, the week's moving along accordingly. Big game in the NHL last night. Crazy odds movement that we're going to be talking about as well in just a few moments. I can't wait to get it started today.
Absolutely tremendous stuff. Now, I got to tell you, it's so tremendous that even people in the back are creeping in my ear.
Buzzing.
So let me know a little bit about their excitement. But as we said, it is draft day. And if you think you know what's going to happen, you don't. I would say the earliest I could have possibly seen the odds before I had taken myself to bed, maybe 10:30 at night East Coast time. Maybe 11 o'clock at night East Coast time.
Again, it just
minus, I'm not kidding you, Donnie, 600 on Jabari Smith. Donnie, why don't you do the honors and let people know right now the price and the person who's favored to go number one overall?
And it's a minus 210. Oh, Jabari Smith, right? No, wrong. Paolo Banchero right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook is a minus 210 to go number one. You won't see odds shifting this way. I mean, we're not even talking about, Kevin, like 6 months, slowly a change. We're talking about violent swings in odds. Hilarious to watch this play out. My goodness, if you thought it was going one way, it's not. And maybe with 12 hours left, you might get something completely different by the time we actually start the draft.
If you want to get caught up in hyperbole, this feels like once in a lifetime. When you talk about the draft movement that we are seeing, we will break that down in its entirety. Paolo is minus 210 to be the first pick. 72 hours ago was over 20-1 to be the first pick in this draft. They don't even have a minus number next to the favorite to be the third overall pick. The FanDuel Sportsbook this morning throwing their hands up in the air. We've also got some NBA trade stuff happening. A pair of rumors here. I'll double them up. DRS, you tell me which one catches your attention. The Blazers make the move for Jeremy Grant, sending out not the seventh overall pick, which they have this year, but a 2025 first round selection mainly to the Detroit Pistons as they are trying to keep good on their promise to build a contender around Damian Lillard.
Yeah, two ways in this one, right? Because I look at it more from the Detroit side. Hey, let's free up some cap space to go out and sign another Blake Griffin-type player. Congratulations, Detroit Pistons. No idea what you're doing. And then let's compound it on the opposite side with the Portland Trail Blazers. We're going to build a contender around Dame. Congratulations on your ninth seed play-in game lineup, basically, in the West. What is going on in the NBA? I don't know.
There are teams that are looking to compete when typically you would think that everyone would be trying to bottom out. There is an additional Blazers rumor, though, where I might just end up the high man in the room. Man, DRS, if only you could see the setup right now. I'm not even kidding to you. It's maybe as good as I've ever seen going on, but in front of my eyes right now. Another piece of NBA news, a potential blockbuster trade involving the Atlanta Hawks and the San Antonio Spurs. The key pieces involved here, John Collins, who we've heard being rumored to get moved along for quite some time. How about now hearing, DRS, it could be one of your favorite guys to bet in the props market, DeJounte Murray, potentially back to Atlanta.
Yeah, how do you build a really good NBA team? Start with young players who can get after on the court. They learn together, and eventually that team that's 21-year-old, 22-year-old turns into 26-year-olds, you're contenders. You know what the best thing the Spurs can do? I don't know, trade away your best player on your team and try to say, okay, let's get another few guys in here to make it work. I preface by saying I don't know what goes on in the NBA or the thought process to say, I have a guy that's a triple-double each and every night about to happen. You know what the best thing you can do if he's young though. Trade him away. That'll be the best move for the Spurs. Have no idea what the San Antonio Spurs are doing, Kevin.
Now, did you bring the radio audience in or did you ignore that? Just to clarify.
Bring woohoo in. I'm on fire right now. What's going on?
NBA right side. NBA young yeah. boy, NBA right side's going
hold
wild.
Me back.
That radio audience is here, though, live on this Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh, as well as DRS, of course, breaking out all of the big news. DeJounte Murray, Trae Young, sign me up. San Antonio basically being like, we stink because the Blazers are too good. Maybe. You never know. Last night, game number four of the Stanley Cup Finals goes to overtime. The stakes were fantastic because it's either going to be 2-2, Tampa takes back any level of momentum, the defending champs, it's not that easy, or it's going to be 3-1 Avs going back home, and it's 3-1 Avs DRS going back home. The pivotal game four goes Colorado's direction.
And sprinkle in a little controversy in overtime. Did that Kadri goal have six players on the ice? Well, it's completely official now. They're not going to take that one away. So some controversy to deal with. That's a huge win for the Avalanche, looking to close it out at home in Ball Arena.
I cannot wait to watch that. Yesterday, man, Major League Baseball provided us plenty of headlines. But the Ohtani double up came through. On Wednesday, or on Tuesday, two home runs, eight RBIs. And then follows it up last night with a career best 13 strikeouts. Only Shohei.
Listen Up is coming up, and it's about what? Let me check. 2 hours away at this point. Oh, it's going to be Shohei time.
I tell you something. This guy, Donnie, he checks in. We got 2 hours to go. We have so much to get to. But he loves himself so much, he teases his single
every day
2.5 minute standalone segment. Absolute madness. Jordan Alvarez, by the way, is on fire and belongs in the AL MVP race and the Travelers.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On an NBA draft day with a lot to get to, a ton. It all begins with the number one overall pick, though. So I knew today we were going to talk NBA draft, but a part of you sits there and you almost wonder, like, man, are we going to kind of be dragging our feet? Jabari Smith minus 600. Who's betting that, right? Chet's starting to get over the minus 300 to be second. Paolo's getting back to over minus 300 to be the third. And I woke up this morning. Shout out to JY, who's going to be joining us here this morning on the early line. Sent me a text that, you know, in all caps basically reads, what is going on? So let's give you an idea of what exactly is going on. We'll start simply at the number one overall pick. DRS, can you believe this? Paolo Banchero, minus 210 to go first. Jabari Smith, plus 155. Chet Holmgren, 10-1, completely sold down the river.
Yes, and two things come to mind here where we say to ourselves, Paolo Banchero, a week and a half ago was an afterthought, Kevin, to be the number one overall pick. You need three in there, so you just throw a third name because the battle is going to be between Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren. And number two, and I'm saying right now, you usually see as a player, oh, man, I can't believe I'm dropping to the draft, Kevin. Like, what's going on? Let me call my agent. You know, Banchero looks like he's, you know, in line to go number one, Jabari Smith to go two, and I'm Chet Holmgren sitting there going, I thought I could have been the actual number one overall pick. Now I'm going to be third? Well, in this bizarro world, I guess Chet Holmgren is calling his agent. His agent is returning the call saying, hey, man, great news. You're not going to go one or two, man. You're going to go three. How sensational is that? Like, is that what we're led to believe now, where this is always what he wanted, being Chet Holmgren? I never wanted to go one, didn't want to go to Orlando. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Oklahoma City. Third's going to be the perfect spot for me. And, oh, by the way, cost myself like $10 million over the life of my first NBA contract. But apparently, champagne bottles are popping in the room because this is exactly what Chet Holmgren wants. Not to be number one or two? It's kind of crazy.
We have heard that Chet Holmgren has been unwilling to offer up his medicals to Orlando and now as well as Oklahoma City. But he's still a considerable favorite, but he's still a favorite to be the number two overall pick off the board. But again, to add this perspective, these odds went from Jabari Smith minus 600 and at most 8 hours later were Paolo Bancaro minus 200. This is something about the draft that I've often chewed DRS's ear off about that always does kind of, you know, catch my attention, is that we're not betting games. We are betting information, right? It's there are definitively correct answers. I know you, oh, well, you know, either the Warriors win or they lose. Yeah, but there's so much stuff that has to happen in between that NBA Finals. There's six different games. Was there an injury? Who shined? Who fell apart, right? We're number one overall pick. Who are the Orlando Magic going to draft? And somebody out there knows that answer. So here's kind of an odd question, and maybe it doesn't matter, but to me it does, Donnie. At 2 in the morning, who found out that Orlando was clearly drafting Paolo Bancaro?
I think it's a sensational story in this regard, right? Because we started the week here going over the NBA draft, saying let's put the final brushstrokes on this. And as we move towards the week, it'll filter out here who's going to be number one. And I was even on record last week going, hey, look, Jabari Smith held off the number one overall seed, right? He's going to be the guy. Got down, you know, a little bit tricky there, minus 140, minus 150, rebounded over to 200. All right, the official stuff is in. But I guess it wasn't a lie, which we see so many times. NFL, NHL, whoever has the number one overall pick, they go, you know what? We actually don't know who we're taking here, which means pick up the phone because we might be able to make a trade, even though the team drafting number one, Kevin, knows exactly who they're taking. The Orlando Magic front office came out Monday, goes, man, it's going to come right down to the wire. We have plenty of time to go. We're not sure. Mm-hmm. And I look at the odds movement now. They weren't sure. And maybe they weren't sure, Kevin, until late last night with a couple pizzas and a six-pack of beer going, you know what? It's going to be Paolo Bancaro. That's the guy we're going with. Let me hit up a beat writer real quick and tell him this is the way we're leaning. Because I got to tell you, I would love, Kevin, again, I don't have any skin in the game betting who's going to be number one overall pick right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But my goodness, when we get off the show or by the time we hit Moneyline in the afternoon, shocking, Jabari Smith minus 300 to go number one overall. Because quite frankly, there must be different factions in the Orlando Magic front office right now that like different players. Because you can't swing this much. From the time you said, or the NBA said, you're getting the number one overall pick, you can't swing this much. You couldn't have gone 3 weeks, Kevin, and saying Jabari Smith's our guy, and in the middle of the night had an epiphany like, no, it's supposed to be Paolo Bancaro. Mm-hmm. I am fascinated by this because I don't think the odds movement is done yet.
So this is a great point by you. So again, this stuff happens in an eight-hour window where a lot of people are sleeping. The reason that's relevant is at some point, Woj, Shams, Mark Stein, Chris Haynes are going to wake up. And they might just put a report out there that maybe lets us know, Don, that Orlando isn't taking Paolo at one, or Jabari, or Chet. What have I been alluding to on this show, though, now all week long? The Houston Rockets coming up to number one overall. I think that maybe could explain just how insane all of this movement truly is. I will add this piece before I, because I want to hit the second and third pick as well. If you are someone with Paolo plus money, whether that's 20 to 1 or 2 to 1, it seems abundantly clear that you can bet Jabari at plus 155, and that's all you need. Chet does not seem to be a real option anymore at the first overall pick, really under any avenue. Dangerous words with the way things have moved, but this does seem to be a two-man race when we talk about that top spot. So now at number two, it still is Chet Holmgren as your favorite. Minus 155. Jabari Smith at minus 115 and Paolo Bancaro at plus 750. But I want to tie that in with the odds to go third overall. The favorite is also Chet Holmgren at plus 135. Jabari is plus 155 with Paolo Bancaro at plus 200, which, again, not everything necessarily feels connected when you see something like that. You know, last night, the FanDuel Sportsbook had odds for the first four picks in exact order. That market has been punted on, and who could blame them? Because who could figure out the top two picks in order, much less the top four. But I'm curious, when you see the way the Chet kind of price exists in the second pick market and the third pick market as the favorite, it adds only more confusion, no?
Yes, it's almost like going against the grain, because if you're just looking, right, and you say to yourself, I want to bet the NBA draft, I'm not used to betting the NBA draft, or quite frankly, I don't watch it much, but explain to me what's actually going on. Because it used to be so simple, or what it should be so simple, Kevin. You look at the number one overall pick, and we have Boncaro minus 210, obviously the clear favorite now. Jabari Smith plus 155, Chet Holmgren 10-1. So how does that usually play out? Oh, this is easy, Kevin, right? Okay, number one pick is going to be Boncaro, Jabari Smith's number two, Chet Holmgren's number three. But that's not the way it's working in this. It looks like that's the way it's supposed to, just based on the odds for the number one pick. But then again, you have to remember, different organizations have different needs and different thought process where they go in, where maybe the number one team, which would be the Orlando Magic, goes, hey, you know what? Jabari Smith fits us, or Chet Holmgren fits us. Then you get that number two spot and they go, well, we really don't like Jabari Smith all that much, even though he's a great player. We would rather have Chet Holmgren. But if you're just looking at the number one overall pick, it looks like it's supposed to be easy. 1, 2, 3, Boncaro, Smith, and Holmgren. But different teams have different needs, and that's the way they've tried to get after it. And that's the way I'm looking at it now. It's odd to see it in this order, but that's just the way it's playing out for the draft tonight.
I think right now, it seems as if Chet has kind of been able to bully his way out of the number one. Bully his way out of the number one spot, a sentence is incredible to even say. Mm-hmm. It does still seem like his home would be OKC. Jabari plus 155 for the third pick right now at plus money. Is that your best bet on the board? I mean, it's the exact same number that he is to be the first overall pick in this draft, except in the first spot, he's going up against a minus 210 favorite in Boncaro compared to a plus 135 favorite in Chet Holmgren, who's, again, a big favorite to go to the second overall spot. The odds are on the move, and so are some draft picks in this year's class and a couple of years coming as well. A lot more happening.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Morning, NBA draft day. Still so much within the NBA draft that we have to get to. I want to get to the big move the Blazers made yesterday, but I want to just quickly just give you the odds for 4, 5, 6, and we actually have the seventh pick as well, just to give people an idea. Jaden Ivey's minus 175 right now, because I'm wondering, Don, if any of this it just surprises you at all, right? When we talk about, you know, that 4-7 range. Jaden Ivey's your favorite at minus 175. At fifth overall, Keegan Murray is your favorite at plus 135. Benedict Mathurin, the Arizona guard forward combination there, minus 115 for the sixth pick. And then you've got a plus 115 on Dyson Daniels to go seventh overall. It's interesting to me there because you've got no huge numbers, right? All of the favorites are plus 135 or shorter. But there's still plus money to be had, and certainly still seems like there's room for movement in all of those markets.
Yes, there is room for movement. And the reason being, too, is we actually don't know who technically is going to be drafting it for at this point, because we take a look at Jaden Ivey, seems like to be the, you know, the apple of the eye for teams like the New York Knicks, who teams are going to be wheeling and dealing throughout the afternoon, because we always thought this draft technically started at 4, right? Like, we knew who was going 1, 2, and 3, but it seemed like, oh my goodness, if we could just get by 3, Jaden Ivey is the guy that everybody wants and multiple teams are in on. So that's where that market fluctuation is going to come in on, because, quite frankly, one minus 175, have we heard anything other than that number 4 pick not being Jaden Ivey going to a multitude of teams, which is key, too, because it's not saying, Kevin, the number 4 overall pick is going to be selected by, you know, the team that's drafting number 4 overall. It just says he has to go number 4 overall. And if that is the market where teams like, this is the 4th best player in the draft, we have to go get him because we can't wait till 5, then that's a pretty good price at minus 175.
And I do think, you know, if Sacramento sits there, right, maybe they can't find a deal. Would that surprise anybody that the Kings somehow can't find a deal? Well, maybe they do take Keegan Murray. All right, well, that all of a sudden now throws a wrench into the plan at number 4. Mm-hmm. Well, what if all of a sudden now the Detroit Pistons are like, well, we've wanted Benedict Mathurin. All right, so now all of a sudden Jaden Ivey's not there, you know, until the 6th pick, right? So things can start to change in that. We've also heard that if anybody was going to crash the top three party, it was going to be Jaden Ivey. And if that happens, I mean, all bets are off. Chet Holmgren maybe is your faller. There's so many different guys that could very well be, you know, moving and shaking around. The one thing that we know, though, that seventh overall pick belongs to the Portland Trailblazers. And that pick very well could be on the move. Yesterday, they did, though, make a trade that didn't involve that pick, but a 2025 first-rounder, sending that out to the Detroit Pistons to bring in Jerami Grant. We knew that the Pistons were looking to move Grant. He's going to be on a one-year deal before ultimately he is going to get moved or, well, be a free agent. Who knows? Maybe he'll stay in Portland long-term. This is a guy that was a near 20-point-per-game scorer for the Detroit Pistons last season. He averaged above 22 points per game his first year in Detroit. Let's start with this piece of news here, Donnie. The reaction to Jerami Grant being moved on and acquired by the Portland Trailblazers.
When I saw it, I was like, okay, it makes a little bit of sense. And then I start to read into exactly what's taking place. And I say to myself, you're the Detroit Pistons. The goal should be build around Cade Cunningham and see what you have and build through the draft and stack draft picks. Because eventually, if you expect Cade Cunningham to be the player that you drafted him to be, he's probably going to be a superstar in the league. But then I look at this and say to myself, all right, like, we're going to trade him a first-round draft pick, clear up the cap space, send him out to Portland. So then I say to myself, okay, well, you get the, where are they going to draft this year? 2025, like it's a 2022 draft. You're going to go through 2023 and 2024 and wait on a draft pick for 2025 so there's no immediate impact. And also, oh, they look to clear cap space. Who is signing with Detroit, Kevin? Like, what is it? LeBron? Oh, LeBron James and AD package. We already got this worked out. $50 million roughly in cap space. We cleared out here. That's not happening here. I don't understand what the Detroit Pistons are actually doing at this point, because if you thought you had a nice young nucleus here to build off of, you just threw that out the window and said, we're shopping for veterans here. And again, what veteran is going, you know, city I always wanted to be in is in Detroit. I just don't understand the move here. I don't.
So I'm maybe a little higher on the situation than you. One, I think a 2025 Blazers pick, we could sneaky look back on and be like, yeah, that was a good move. Because, Donnie, you and I are going to basically tell Damian Lillard to request a trade, right, from now all the way until then.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And if that happens, maybe the Blazers are absolutely awful, right? I always think that there are teams who chase that Brooklyn Nets dragon, right? When, you know, the Celtics-Nets trade where basically Boston was able to rebuild quicker than the Nets were because of how good those picks ended up being for them. Also, as far as who is Detroit going to sign with that money, we will expand on the idea in our next segment. But we keep hearing DeAndre Ayton and Detroit rumors nonstop. We can talk about what makes sense in that kind of package deal there. But the thing is, there's an additional piece of news that I think ties this all in together. Now that they've brought Jerami Grant in and didn't have to give up the seventh overall pick to do so, they're going to continue to pursue OG Anunoby, of course, of the Toronto Raptors, for the seventh overall pick. The Raptors, I can never really get a great read on if they're coming or going as it pertains to any offseason. Do they want to trade? Do they want to compete? But let's just say the Raptors go out there and take the seventh pick. And here's everything with the Raptors, okay? And we'll expand on this idea first, Donnie, actually. If the Raptors get the seventh pick, whoever they draft at seven, you know this. We're going to go, ooh, that guy's going to be a steal. That guy's going to be very good. Because we trust the Raptors when it comes to stuff like that.
And we do. But also the move here from a perspective of sending OG Anunoby possibly up to Portland. It must be a different trick because, like, my mind usually is trained on, like, the NFL and the thought process behind draft picks and what they mean and salary caps and such. But I look at stuff like this, and you're right with the Toronto Raptors. Are you coming or going? Like, you pulled a rabbit out of your hat and got Kawhi Leonard. Imagine if you could have just thought about keeping him as opposed to him leaving town where you really sold him. You won a championship. Build your life here in Toronto. You'll be a legend in Canada. Yeah, I don't really care about that. I'm going to go to L.A. So then you look at some of the other moves. You know, Lowry moves on from that, you know, team. You also have DeMar DeRozan. There's always changing parts, but it seems to work out in Toronto's favor where they're still going to be competitive. But from a Portland perspective for me, Kevin, I don't want to be too negative on Portland because the goal should be an NBA franchise. It's never to tank. It's not fair to your fans. But from a Portland perspective with Damian Lillard, If your goal is to just be competitive and you say to yourself, Kevin, because we're such a small market, we can't attract anybody here. We're so thankful that Dame wants to stay here. We'll pay him more than he's absolutely worth by two or three times. Never had a chance to sniff a championship, but this is good enough for us. Hey, guys, each and every night you might have a chance to win. Isn't that what we signed up for in Portland? I guess so at this point, Kevin. That's what they're looking at.
So, again, here comes an interesting moment where I think I might be the high man. If we have that graphic of the projected starting lineup, if this all gets done for the Portland Trail Blazers, a team that right now, the odds completely agree with everything Donnie is saying. The Blazers sit at 120-1 to win the NBA championship. Donnie, yesterday or this past weekend on BATR, did a little top 10 player breakdown. Damian Lillard, to me, is still one of the 10 best players in the NBA. If I have a top 10 player in the NBA, I have aspirations of trying to make the postseason. Anthony Simons can step right in for C.J. McCollum. And that was a 1-2 punch, by the way, that routinely was a top 5 range seed in the Western Conference. OG Anunoby and Jeremy Grant is a phenomenal 3-4 pairing there who can offer up enough floor spacing, enough ability to create their own shot, actually defend at a legitimate level. OG Anunoby is one of the better perimeter defenders in all of basketball. And we know Yusuf Nurkic, when he's out there, is an absolute load at the center position. You're going to need Josh Hart and Justice Winslow to stay healthy and help fill out the bench there. Can Nasir Little be a legitimate piece for this team off of the bench? You're going to have to add some weapons. Am I saying win an NBA championship? No, but I'll tell you this right now, Donnie. If that is the Portland Trailblazers starting five, Dame, Simons, OG, Jeremy Grant, and Yusuf Nurkic, I guarantee you they make the playoffs this upcoming season.
Yeah, and I guess that's what Dame wants. Like, hey, look, don't put me in any pressure here. We actually have to get deep into the playoffs. If we just make it, I can point to my watch like, hey, it's Dame time again, even though Dame took the entire year off just to ensure he could make the most amount of money he can in the following years with the Portland Trailblazers. I don't understand what the organization is doing overall myself. It's a nice starting lineup, yes, but when I look at the Western Conference and look at the NBA landscape, I just look at that lineup and I yawn going, hey, Dame, if you really want to win something, why don't you say I need to be traded? They can get a nice package around and you can move on to a team that's going to help. Remember all the talk like, oh, Dame should head down to the Lakers. Wouldn't that be fascinating? Dame, LeBron, Anthony Davis. But for Dame, it's like, no, I don't want any pressure and I want to make a ton of money. You know, Bradley Beal, it should be Step Brothers, like the new movie. Bradley Beal and also Dame Lillard, who don't care about anything but making money and not having any pressure on themselves. That's what I see.
I think you're being hard on Dame here, man. I think Dame is kind of being what everybody pretends they want NBA superstars to be. Dame is basically saying, I want to win here in Portland. Prove to me you want to win. And I'll tell you this right now. Trading a 2025 first rounder for Jeremy Grant and the 7th overall pick for OG Anunoby, they're saying, hey, we do want to win. How high are they going to go? I'm not sure. You know, let's not forget Damian Lillard was in a Western Conference Finals not all that long ago with the Portland Trailblazers there, DRS. Does that look like a sub-500 basketball team to you? That potential starting lineup? Not to me. Not to me.
No,
that looks like a team that's going to be in the postseason.
Yes, and I guess if your aspirations on a small market in Portland is I just need to sell my fan base that we have a superstar and we can possibly win tonight, congratulations, Portland, you did it. But if I'm an NBA owner, I want to win championships, not win just random games in February.
You could trade Dame, get a star back. Maybe somebody as good as Dame?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
See that Blazers win total. Roughly. Last year, Don. Okay, how about this? Last year, remember we did the futures show, right? And mm-hmm. You had the Bulls to make the playoffs, which was really one of my favorite bets because I think like 3 weeks in, it was like, yeah, you could pay Donnie now. And then the last like 11 days of the regular season. It's like, what's going on here? But it ultimately all worked all in all. My question to you is, if I told you right now it'd be plus 100, the no on Portland, with that rotation, do you think you'd be interested in the no? Or maybe I'm twisting your words here a little bit. Maybe your problem isn't that, that team's not good enough to make the playoffs. It's that all they're good enough to do is be a seven seed in a round one elimination.
Yes, this is one of those teams where, which was prefaced by saying this, on a night-to-night basis, they give you an opportunity to win, which means that's a playoff team here. But that no means that you say, okay, I'm the Portland front office, the fan base gone, we built a team that's going to compete in the West. They're not going to compete in the West. They're going to compete for being in contention to make the playoffs, which if they stay healthy, they'll probably do that. But I just look at things on a different level. When you have a guy, and it's also preference, Kevin, by the slot that you're going to pay players. If Damon Lillard was like, hey, I just want to come back and play well, and we'll see what happens. 3-year extension, $25 million a year. Like, okay, that makes some sense. But when you start to hear the guys, like the reason I get on this is like Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, you're going to be the highest paid players possibly in the history of the game. What's my return on investment? Ooh, we might get in the playoffs. I just can't do that.
You know, it's so, we're early, right? We're early. Warriors, I'm not making any argument there. Clippers, I'm not making any argument there. Like, Donnie, like, that Dallas Mavericks lineup, because with Christian Wood now, you're telling me is markedly better than that Blazers team that we just put on the screen? I don't think it is. I really don't. If Dame can provide you an NBA MVP level of player, and that's the other thing I'll say, by the way, and I don't think, and the number's been on the move a little bit. He was like 85-1 when they dropped those initial MVP rankings. He's 70-1 now. Basically, the topic to take is, you can be a top 10 player in the NBA, it's 70-1 to an MVP, I got to take a look at it. And I feel like I'm early, I'm taking a look at that number. Now, to bring it back to the Detroit Pistons, who, I like this, a rare trade where I think I liked what both teams did and Donnie did dislike what both teams did. We're having a fun little Thursday morning here on NBA Draft Day. The Detroit Pistons are basically clearing cap space because they want to bring in DeAndre Ayton. And there's two sides to this coin, but I'm sorry, the Pistons are the second side. I cannot allow us to sit here and talk casually or normally about the fact that the Phoenix Suns, who drafted DeAndre Ayton number one overall just a few years ago, have seen him turn into a near 20-10 player, go to the NBA Finals, be the best team in the NBA in the regular season, are willingly letting him, or trying to actually, maybe is the better phrase, have him no longer be a part of their organization. It is incredible to me that DeAndre Ayton, in potentially 24 hours, is not going to be a Phoenix Sun.
And maybe they know something that we don't, but we also heard, these are my favorite rumors that I've ever heard, right? Typically it's, man, like a guy like James Harden, yeah, he's great on the court, but when he gets up there in age, he's not going to change his lifestyle, which means he's going to go out and party at the club till 2 and 3 a.m., and then he's going to show up at the next day. And you can do that, Kevin, when you're 25, 26, 27, but you're out there in the streets, you're having fun, you're running with the fellas, and some NBA teams frown upon that. But I love the fact that DeAndre Ayton, they say, you know what? I don't know if I can trust this guy. Yeah, what's he do? Hey, he runs with a bad crowd. You know, he's always out at the club. No, he stays at home and plays video games through all hours of the night. There's no way you could pay a guy who does that. I mean, look at all the damage that he can do in the community by having a headset on and playing video games. That's their knock. Like, it's not the on-court performance, Kevin, where you say to yourself, he's just not an NBA player. We whiffed on the number one overall. Like, he's Michael Olowokandi, like back in the 80s and 90s that the Clippers took as the, you know, center. Oh, he's going to play well. No, he was terrible. But you look at DeAndre Ayton, he's putting up legitimate numbers, and they're saying, you know what? We're going to quabble over whether or not you're a max player or even if we should extend you, because the thought process is, I can't trust you because you play video games? Boy, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Like, the thing is, right, how much leeway do top picks? We are on year five.
Usually a ton.
I know it's not apples to apples, right? Yeah. Year five of you think Daniel Jones has any juice left in New York? DeAndre Ayton is the number one overall pick in the Luka Doncic draft, with which, by the way, I will never let them live this down, no matter how good Ayton is. The Suns drafted, or excuse me, hired Luka's international head coach and then didn't draft Luka Doncic because of how much they love DeAndre Ayton. Ayton is actually good enough that you don't really get criticized for passing on Luka all that often. All of that seems to end up on the Kings' front doorstep. And you're letting him leave? I mean, I know the idea probably, Donnie, is that them facilitating a sign and trade here is going to maybe net them back some assets. And maybe we'll come on tomorrow if this deal gets done and we'll be, oh, wow. I mean, boy, do they end up with some great pieces here. I doubt it. Maybe that'll be the takeaway. But it is fascinating to me that that is happening. And to pair, though, again, the Pistons angle of this, what a fantastic move. In the same way we say, if you are, get your young quarterbacks legitimate wide receivers and see if they have any sauce, right? Basically, everything that the Eagles are trying to do for Jalen Hurts and everything the Ravens aren't trying to do for Lamar Jackson. Get Cade Cunningham, a 23-year-old all-star caliber big man in DeAndre Ayton. Like, it's not like Ayton's on the back nine. He's hardly on the front nine, DeAndre Ayton here. Like, again, and for an organization that you've rightfully said, they're not going to be able to sign guys left, right, and center. I think the opportunity to bring DeAndre Ayton into Detroit is an absolute layup for them.
It could be here. Let's get back to, you know, the Phoenix Suns overall as an organization, which you said, you know, you grease the skids, right? You say, you know what, here's what's going to take place. We're going to bring in a guy that's comfortable with Luka. Luka's going to like this easy transition. We're going to take him number one overall. James Jones, if I read the article correctly here, goes out to the World Basketball Championships a few years ago, eyes up Luka and goes, yeah, that's not the guy for us here in this franchise, and immediately pivot and take DeAndre Ayton. But it's not as if, Kevin, you know, we have those arguments too, like, oh my goodness, like Luka Doncic and Trae Young. Oh, trade, oh, who won the better that one? Everybody got good basketball players. Like, you can't look at saying, well, we drafted DeAndre Ayton number one overall. Boy, what a swing and miss that was. Guy had him in the NBA Finals and was very productive through his young career and still is only 23 years old. And we talk about unicorn positions that are going away. The true center, right, where I can play back to the basket. I can hit a 17-foot jumper. I can rebound. I can run the court. He does it all. And you're right. He's not the Kimbe Mutombo, 37 years old. Let's try to build one last time around Cade Cunningham. You're putting a young core together, so it makes some sense. But maybe the downfall here for the Pistons, if they do sign DeAndre Ayton, is Ayton comes in and introduces Cade Cunningham to video games, and that's the downfall of the Detroit Pistons. That's not going to happen here. It's a nice move because you're right. Just signing true free agents off the street, like the next superstar, like Zion Williamson, you might be a free agent here. Come to Detroit. What? I'm not coming to Detroit. But you know where he comes to Detroit? In a side and train where you get the best money you can possibly get and go to a young, you know, team and a young core. But at the same time, I look at the Detroit Pistons. I don't know where they're going. It's a nice move to get Ayton. But it's another one of those moves where I look at it and say, well, the Pistons are going to be contenders next year with DeAndre Ayton? I don't think so here, but it might be a decent building block.
But see, that's the difference. They don't have to be. They can be the 11th seed, and it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Because Ayton's 23, and Cade will be in his sophomore season. Sadiq Bey's young. That's the thing. They don't have to worry about any of that next year. Detroit potentially bringing in Ayton, to me, again, it just feels like a really... Donnie, Ayton might make an all-star team next year for the Detroit Pistons. That's a win. Simply, like that, they'll have two guys that might be all-stars. That's a huge, huge win. Speaking of all-stars, and I love that this time... Man, you know, the funny thing is, and we like to joke here, but Donnie, you know, this morning, this NBA news. About as hot as you'll hear Donnie Wrightside, I feel like, right now on this Thursday morning. DeJounte Murray. The San Antonio Spurs, the Atlanta Hawks. I want to start with the Atlanta side because that's the side I care more about because I want to see the Hawks be perennial contenders. Does DeJounte Murray flip them to perennial contenders? However, you ever see a fit that just all of a sudden, I can't believe I didn't think of that. We talked about, Zach LaVine quite a lot. And LaVine would be great. I'm not necessarily sure DeJounte Murray is better than Zach LaVine, but is he a better fit next to Trae Young than Zach? He might just be. A guy that flirts with triple-doubles on a routine basis and is a legitimate plus defender who can provide Trae Young all of the off-ball opportunities that I know I for so long have wanted to see possibly happen. John Collins being moved out is not something I would, you know, spend too much time crying over if I was a Hawks fan or somebody early invested in their futures tickets here. The idea of Trae Young and DeJounte Murray DRS, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid this morning. I am absolutely enamored by.
Me too. And it seems like it's a great fit here. And also, typically, how do you win in the NBA? Dynamic backcourts. Isn't that what you would have? Who are you focusing on? DeJounte Murray, let's close out on him. Oh, Trae Young is shooting from the logo. Oh, no, close out on the logo with Trae Young. Give it back to DeJounte Murray. And again, one of those players, like we talk about like floor general, he can give you 10 assists, Kevin. He can give you 10 rebounds. He can give you 10-plus points. That is a perfect combination guard to go with Trae Young in the backcourt, because what are you always talking about where you have Trae Young? Oh, you can work him, cook him on defense. Well, it's nice that you can have another guy that can pick up the slack on the court and also handle the basketball. It seems too perfect, which I love the fact that we start off with the Atlanta angle, because you get DeJounte Murray and give up, whoa, John Collins, how can they ever recover from that? Atlanta's a better basketball team moving forward next year and a more exciting basketball team. But I know we're going to flip the script here and go back to the San Antonio Spurs when you say, you know what I have? A young, talented basketball player that's a walking triple-double. How can I improve my basketball team around him? No. You say, how can I improve my basketball team? Is by getting rid of this player? Look, I know Popovich and the Spurs have worked magic in the past and found some absolute gems that they've cultivated down in San Antonio. But it seems like one of those gems they have now starting to move on. Maybe it's a trend down there, right? You see Kawhi Leonard, one of those gems that you uncover. You draft, you say one of the best players in the NBA, doesn't want to be there anymore. And then you say with DeJounte Murray, one of those gems that you found, doesn't want to be there anymore, or maybe you don't want him there. I can't quite figure out from a Spurs perspective here, Kevin. I can't.
That's the thing. A guy who's going to be, what, 26 by the time we start the next season is supposed to be a part of your rebuild. I agree with you. I think basically San Antonio is kind of a team that finished 34 and 48. We're not close. We are just not close. And if we can get, because here's the thing. I will say this. You know, obviously it's early rumors, but they're basically saying the asking price is very, very high. They're not seemingly going to move off of DeJounte for nothing. But again, if they think that they can get back multiple first rounders and let Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell, you know, find their rhythm. But, man, the Spurs are, if they get rid of DeJounte Murray, a long way away from really anything, which is, of course, it. We'll be right back. Quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, quick second before we get to hour two. And actually, we are moments away from Travelers Championship teeing off. Scottie Scheffler is your tournament favorite right now, plus 800. Rory McIlroy, the second choice at plus 900. Patrick Cantlay, Sam Burns, and Xander Schauffele round out that top five, the only five golfers that are under 20-1 prices on the FanDuel Sportsbook. For you, DRS, the Travelers Championship, what's the intrigue? What's the excitement? What are you looking for?
I mean, typical of whether or not we had the LIV Golf Tour, the PGA Tour, stars leaving or not, I'm really usually not interested in the Travelers here. And quite frankly, if you do look at that leaderboard, which isn't really leaderboard, but just odds to win the tournament, Scheffler, Rory, Cantlay, Schauffele, Spieth in that top six. Outside of that, it's a lot of guys nobody's ever heard of here, but that's typical for the PGA Tour outside of the majors. So not a lot of interest from my end. It looks like some top-heavy guys in the field, so we'll see how it works out.
I'm always interested right now in money man himself, Scottie Scheffler, right? You know, from a dollar sign perspective, impressive. You know, the best season anybody's ever had on the PGA Tour. I'm very, very interested. I guess, though, that includes majors, whatever it might be. It's all confusing a little bit at this rate. But I'm interested in Scottie Scheffler. This was a guy that obviously had himself a fantastic run at the U.S. Open, enters as the favorite again. He seems, you know, kind of a guy that, because he's not your Rory, your JT, your Jon Rahm, that, you know, when he has not a bad turn, right? But just it falls back a little bit, right? People go, all right, move Scottie Scheffler off of the platform here. But whenever he does what he was able to do last week, the sports books are reminded quickly, yeah, that guy can be no worse than a co-favorite entering a tournament like here at the Travelers Championship.
Yes, and also you're looking at some of these tournaments here, the decompression, as we like to say, Kevin, coming off of a major, maybe some of the other guys would be rested and ready, where those top guys that just grinded in the major, maybe like, oh man, I can't believe the performance last week. Let's get back on the horse. But maybe you're not as sharp as you need to be, and somebody can come with one of those 50 or 65-1 tickets here and win this.
Yeah, we'll certainly be following that throughout the week here on the early line. But when we come back, we begin hour number 2 with the result of game number 4. Let's take it up.